Monday edition of the Jason Greger Show continues on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260, and it is our weekly chat, Crease Lightning, with Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Mr. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Got me at the rink today, a little Jets Canucks action. So, yeah, anytime it's a game day, it's a good day.
Now, the Nashville Predators are in Edmonton tonight, and Vancouver snapped Nashville's 14-game unbeaten streak on Saturday night. And you look at Nashville, and we talked about this last week a little bit, just, you know, Pekka Rinne and how he's better when he sees more rubber. You had a chance to talk to Laviolette and Rinne over the weekend. Did Rinne shed any light on why his numbers are so much better when he sees more pucks?
Well, this is kind of where, I mean, it's an interesting juxtaposition. I have talked to him about why he feels better seeing more pucks. You know, we've talked about that before. It's a rhythm. It's the timing of the game. He is an active goalie. He plays a more aggressive style. And those guys tend to be more reliant on the timing that comes with feeling shots. I mean, if you don't see a lot of shots, he gets a little quiet back there for you. So part of it was him getting comfortable with, you know, low shot total nights. And yet, he was getting better this last little stretch, and it was tied to them seeing, you know, 30 or more a night. The average they've been given up during his little run was, you know, 31 shots, and there were some 38 and 39 nights. So then you go into the room and you talk to him again, and you talk to Laviolette, and you ask them what's changed, and they say, we're playing better defensively. And you look at the shot totals and you think, hold on, Pekka's playing better because you're playing better defensively. But you're in that stretch, you're averaging 30, I think it was almost 32 shots a game. And when he was struggling, you were giving up closer to 25 a game. And you're telling me the difference is you're playing better defensively. So what part of that doesn't add up? And, you know, talking a little more in depth with him, it seems to be that as you tighten up, they're actually giving up more shots and playing better defensively. And I know that can be hard to sort of rectify those two statements. But at the end of the day, you tighten things up, and teams are forced into situations where they're throwing more of those feeler shots at the net, the kind of shots that goalies love because it lets them feel like they're into the game, pad the shot totals a little bit, pad the save percentage a little bit. Whereas before, you know, yeah, they were only giving up 25, 22, sometimes under 20 shots a game, but they were quality chances at times. So it's a tough one to sort of wrap your head around. They're giving up more shots, but they're giving up less chances. And Pekka Rinne just feels more comfortable behind that. I think most goalies would, but especially a guy like Pekka who plays a more aggressive style. And the results have been good for the Predators, and obviously good for Pekka Rinne, who looks a lot more like himself of late than he did earlier this season.
Looking as we get closer to the end of the season, the race for the Vezina is really heating up. Lundqvist has had a fantastic year. The Rangers are not a great team overall. I think Bishop in Tampa Bay has been very good. And then Corey Crawford, who seems to be, you know, the Rodney Dangerfield of NHL goaltenders. He just never seems to get any respect. Is this the year he wins, or is this Hanks to win?
You know, it might be the year that he gets the respect. We had to do our Vezina trophy tracker update for NHL.com today, and I had Corey at the top of the list. And, you know, basically, it is a two-horse race. I guess Bishop's in the conversation as well. But to me, it is more right now Corey Crawford and Henrik Lundqvist. And the hard part is weighing the quality of shots, the difficulty of shots that they're facing. I think for the longest time, Corey hasn't gotten a ton of respect because everybody perceived, and they were, Chicago Blackhawks to be such a good defensive team. If you look at it this year, they are middle of the road in terms of shot attempts and Corsi in the NHL. They're no longer one of the top teams this year. Yes, he still has the big names on defense. You got Hjalmarsson and Seabrook and Keith, but beyond that, it's been a little patchwork. The adjusted save percentage on a site like waronice.com shows you and tells a little more of the story that Corey Crawford hasn't been as insulated this year as he has in the past. That the narrative out of Chicago about how they've relied on him more this year than they have in the past, that he really has kind of been a bigger part of them winning this year, plays out statistically. And adjusted save percentage obviously is when we weigh the save percentage based on shot location. Is it the perfect answer? No, but it's the most contextualized piece of data we have to judge goaltending performance. And Corey Crawford comes out, the only guys ahead of him is Henrik Lundqvist. So, you know, he's right up there, like, top of the league in terms of not just save percentage, but adjusted save percentage. And that tells you that he's not as insulated this year in Chicago as he has been in years past. Now, hey, I just said Henrik Lundqvist is the only one ahead of him, so why isn't he going to win the Vezina? The thing that's killing Henrik right now is penalty kill, shorthanded save percentage. And analytics likes to look at 5-on-5, and the reason for that, the primary reason for that is it's a better judge. It's a better way to analyze goaltenders in terms of what we can expect from them moving forward. It's a more predictive number, 5-on-5 save percentage. But penalty killing still counts, especially when we're trying to evaluate the season that's been as opposed to trying to predict what's coming for a goaltender. And analytics are largely about predicting what's coming. You can't ignore Henrik's struggles on the penalty kill. Team play in front of him, they give up a lot of seams to the backdoor. They give up a lot of easy backdoor plays that have hurt him. But that's a part of the season. It's that cliche about, you know, your penalty killer's got to be, or your goalie's got to be your best penalty killer, and they've struggled on the PK. And so his overall adjusted save percentage, well, his 5-on-5 is tops in the league, his overall drops significantly, and that's where Crawford overall adjusted save percentage, including the penalty kill, is right there 1-2 with Ben Bishop. So this could be the year that Corey Crawford gets some respect, and it wouldn't just be about narratives and about, you know, earning it over time. It really would be that he's been relied on more than in years past by the Chicago Blackhawks.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, when we spoke to you a while back, you talked about, well, how are the Blues going to screw up Brian Elliott because they always rotate? Well, they didn't have a choice because he got injured. Now he's set to come back, but Jake Allen's playing lights out, and suddenly the Blues are the hottest team in the National Hockey League. And yet some still believe there's a question mark surrounding their goaltending. What have you seen recently from Jake Allen that gives you any more comfort in thinking he's a number one, or is it still a question mark?
I think it's always a question mark in the playoffs until you do it. That's just the reality. The pressures just shift. I mean, and we've seen goaltenders, and we saw him go through a learning curve last year. I guess that's the hardest part, is the learning curve that comes with that pressure. You've got a team that fancies itself a Stanley Cup contending team, and yet it appears they're set to kind of go with their goaltender of the future, in Jake Allen. Now, it's nice to have two options. And the fact that Jake's come back from that injury and played so well, you know, allows them to have Elliott there, but not perhaps need to go with him early. Again, to go to a cliche, it comes, you know, that old one about if you've got two number one goaltenders, or if you say you've got two number one goaltenders, it means you don't actually have one. And I think that there are elements of truth to that at times. I like both of these guys. I've been a Brian Elliott fan for years now. I like his game when I break down his game. I like elements of it even more than Jake Allen. You know, just in terms of, you know, some of the technical components. And yet, here we are again with both guys heading into the playoffs and a lot of uncertainty over which guy's going to be the guy. And as much as I want to try and spin that as a positive, it's kind of hard to, because most teams, most players you talk to, they would like to have one guy that they're going in and relying on rather than the back and forth. And at least they've had back and forth all season, but it's hard to view it as anything, you know, than what it is we're talking about now. It's a question mark. And when you're heading into the playoffs, you want to have as few question marks as possible, and they have a big one in one of the most important positions.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot, and no political answer, no sitting on the fence. I want you to tell me, you're the GM, and they're both healthy, you're Ken Hitchcock. Who do you start, Allen or Elliott, and why?
I would probably start Brian Elliott, because I've seen the evolution in his game. I still like Jake Allen as a legitimate number one goaltender in the future. There are still times where he gets himself in situations that are a little more scrambled. Okay. I just feel a little better about Brian Elliott's game technically than I do about Jake Allen's right now. And it's just, it's not to say Jake isn't close or hasn't gotten there yet or won't get there. I think that they view him as the guy in the future, the long-term number one solution. Although, to be honest, they got a kid in the minors named Phoenix Copley who is the real deal. But just right now, for whatever reason, everything that they don't seem to be comfortable with in Brian Elliott, when I watch him play and when I look at film of him playing and break down it structurally, knowing what he's changed in his game, there's just so much to like. Off the ice, there has been talk that he gets so into his routine and his pregame juggling and bouncing balls off the wall that in the past, if those things didn't go well for him, that he would get inside his own head. And it seems anecdotally, at least talking to people around him, that he's moved past that. And if he has, because that's hard for me to measure. You know, that's something you can't really see from a distance.
Yep.
But if he has really moved past that, everything I see from him on the ice, Jason, leads me to believe that he can be a guy that can carry a team in the playoffs.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Speaking of carrying teams in the playoffs, it looks like the Islanders and the Rangers are set to meet in the first round in their division. You got Henrik Lundqvist at one end. You had Jaro Halak. He's out. It's not going to be ready. So there's Thomas Greiss, who's had pretty good numbers this year. They say they're good. You've studied a lot of goaltenders, and then you talk about the pressure and maybe the anxiety or the excitement, depending on the goalie, of now suddenly being the guy. And the Islanders, you know, Jack Capuano's team's made the playoffs. They've never won a playoff series, so maybe he feels more pressure. Tell Islander fans what you think about Greiss and, A, what you like about his game, and, B, maybe what are the question marks heading into the postseason for him?
Well, when it comes to mentally, and you know, again, hey, it's the playoffs. He's never been the guy heading into the playoffs, and so those questions will always exist. But in terms of being able to handle answering those questions and facing those questions, Thomas Greiss, I mean, he's different. I've gotten to know him off the ice a little bit, and he's just wired different, Jason. He's a different cat. He doesn't feel any of those kind of pressures. Like, everything is water off a duck's back to this guy. Now, hey, whether you can manifest that and it'll show up on the ice in the playoffs, I guess we'll have to wait and see, because he's never had that chance. But he just shrugs everything off. Nothing bugs him. He's just wired. He may be the most laid-back goaltender I've ever met. And I've had a few interactions over the years with Ilya Brizgalov on and off the ice. So that tells you something. He's just wired differently. Now, on the ice, he's also wired a little differently. He is not an overly technical guy. There is a lot of read and react to his game. There's a lot of skill reliance in his game. And you know, as I've talked about in the past, anytime you rely too heavily on skill, it can lead to consistency issues. And that's what's made his year remarkable. Without getting long stretches for the most part, being a guy who alternates and being a guy who watched Jaro Halak start for significant stretches ahead of him, he hasn't lost any of that rhythm, any of that timing. Normally, guys that rely as much as he does on it struggle in a backup role, and yet he's, like you said, his numbers aren't just good, they're tops in the NHL. He was .930 save percentage last time I checked, which led the league, and a big enough sample size that it's legit. So best story for me of Thomas Greiss is at a camp I was at last summer, end of the camp, and these are good shooters. This is Andrew Ladd, Justin Schultz, a handful of NHL shooters. They do a game at the end where they're just, it's pure raw breakaway skill. It's a competition between the goaltenders. And it's Reimer, it's Greiss, and it's Dubnyk. It was the end of a long week at camp, and Greiss wasn't really into it. And so he just, like, he basically played stand-up style in goal and was throwing two-pad stacks and things that he doesn't do a lot in a game, but he will give you different looks, and these guys couldn't score on him. And to me, it was just this example of how he reads the game, how his attitude is, and how at times that can really screw up shooters.
Man, I hope he pulls out a two-pad stack regularly now. He'd become my favorite goaltender in the National Hockey League. That'd be awesome. Woods, as always, great insight. Good to talk to you. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next Monday.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Always great insight on the goaltending position. The Vezina Trophy race, something to watch out for. Corey Crawford could finally get the recognition that I think he deserves. For far too long, he's been deemed kind of just an average goalie on a really good team, and I think he has been more than that. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll set up the Oilers and the Predators. Lauren Brossoit gets the start in goal as you're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by Mr. Lube, Canada's leader in car maintenance.